Hello, thank you for listening to this sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allow you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
That's a wonderful reminder, isn't it, that we have a wonderful Father that we can run to at any time, one who loves us unconditionally. A great reminder this Father's Day. Well, it's a joy to be with you this morning. We are the Reynolds family. I think a lot of you know us, but in case you don't, I'm Cliff. This is my wife, Allie. We have four children, and Caleb is 19, Hope is 17, Josiah is 15, and Isaac's 13, so we're doing all the teen years right now. I was in youth ministry here in the States, so we feel like this is like good territory for us. Our two oldest, Caleb and Hope, are going to be heading off to Cedarville in August, and so we're going to be returning back to England without two of our kids. And that kind of reminds me of youth ministry as well, right? Because you get them kind of, you know, where you want them. You're excited to see what God's doing. And then they go off to university. It's like, what are you doing? You're supposed to stay here. I know, of course, some of you who are parents, you know, feel that as well. But we serve with the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism, ABWE, in the country of England. On the next slide, there is just a brief story of our journey. We were appointed in 2007 to serve with ABWE in a long-term capacity and spent the next 4 years raising our support to go to the field. In 2011, we were able to finally go to England, and it's crazy to think about this, but this October will be 15 years that we've been on the field. Praise the Lord, right? What a joy it has been to serve. And it's gone by fast. It's hard to believe that it's been 15 years that we have been there. Over that time, we've had the joy of being involved in two church plants and helping two church plants become established. You can kind of see some of our prayer cards on the left there. I always like to point out is our rookie card. Caleb is the only one pictured there when we first started this journey, and he's gotten just a little bit taller since then. But no, it's a joy to be with you. We also serve as part of a larger team in the UK with ABWE. And so on the next slide is just some of the people that we serve alongside. I'm the field team leader for our team, and it's a joy to serve those missionaries, to be a part of what God's doing through our team throughout the UK. You can see we're pretty spread out. We actually have two missionaries now. In Scotland, which is a joy to see a new field that was opened just a few years ago. Three of us are involved in church planting. Three of us are involved in church revitalization. And we have one new family on the next slide, the Kistlers, that are raising support currently. They're just about fully supported, which we're excited about. So we're hoping in the next year that they're going to be joining our team, and they're hoping to go up to Glasgow. So that'll be three missionaries in Scotland. Again, the UK greatly needs the gospel. And so we're excited to see that team continue to expand as God calls people to serve him in that land.
On the next slide, you'll see our team vision statement. As a team, we are seeking to fulfill the Great Commission by multiplying prayer, disciples, leaders, and healthy evangelical churches. And we're just going to share a little bit about how we've been seeking to do that. On the next slide, it talks about our number one thing is prayer, multiplying prayer. That is foundational to all that we do. And we started that just at the beginning with our church plant with prayer and planning meetings. And on the next slide, you'll see some pictures from that. We met at the beginning, about 12 adults met together for about 6 months and just praying and seeking what the Lord would have us do in that community. There's always loads that you can do, right? There's loads we can do here, even in your surrounding neighborhoods and all. But we have to seek the Lord to find out what he wants us to do, because we can be busy about a lot of things. So we've dedicated that time to not only just pray and ask God, seek his face as to what he wanted us to do, but also to be able to strengthen that group together, to be able to lay some foundations about what is church, why are we church planting, what is the point. And it was a really precious time together as we sought that together. Then we continued that. So the next slide, we'll talk about our weekly prayer meetings and our dedicated weeks of prayer. And these are always precious times that we have together. Every Friday we meet together to just continue to pray and seek his face and seek dependence on the Lord as we lay out our plans and ask him and seek what he wants us to do. And the Lord continually answers prayers. On the next slide, you'll see some of the pictures from that. And we have some precious people in our church that are prayer warriors. On the bottom middle, you'll see Wendy. She is one of our precious prayer warriors. She's 87. And though she might not have the physical strength to be able to be doing all this stuff in the church plant, it's kind of at a church plant, so all hands on deck. But her hands are on deck because she is our prayer warrior. She writes us even as we've been on furlough every single week saying, I'm praying for you. So she's praying for you guys as well as we share about our ministry. So it's just really been a joy to be able to continue that and continue that focused amongst the people. And then we've been trying to multiply prayer with you guys as well through our prayer letters and our emails. So if you aren't signed up for that, I know they send out as a church, but you're welcome to sign up on our website to receive those emails personally if you don't get those. But that's just a way to keep informed on what's going on in the ministry, to be able to pray specifically. I try to send out emails every so often about some different outreach events and things and give you updates so you know how to pray for us. And we are so thankful for you as our prayer team. None of this happens without our prayer team, without prayer, without seeking the Lord. So it's been a joy to be able to multiply prayer on the field.
And secondly, we want to multiply disciples. So on the next slide, just reminds us of that.
Sorry.
I think.
Yeah, one more.
There's the prayer letter, sorry, and our website. And one of the ways we do that is through intentional gospel living. Just as we seek to live as Christians in the community that God has placed us in. We live in the town of Swindon. It's about an hour and a half west of London. And the church plant that we are currently involved in is in a village just outside of that town. It's a village called Purton. And so we just seek to live as Christians, right? Isn't that part of our calling as believers? And as we are praying, one of the prayers that we are praying is that God would help us to fulfill the Great Commission, which is to make disciples of all nations. And so on the next slide, you'll see just some of the ways that we seek to do that. We seek to try to connect to our community in any way that we can. There's a picture of there doing a litter pick. The village has a litter pick that they do once a quarter, and we just join in with it. It's not something our church is starting or doing. We're just joining the community in something they're already doing. We also have an opportunity to serve on a American football team in the UK, which is a joy. All three of our boys have played. Caleb and myself have both coached as well. And it's great. It's great because it intersects us with people who don't know Jesus. It intersects our lives with them. Nobody else on the team are believers. And so we have good opportunities to be able to build relationships with them with the hopes of being able to share the good news of Jesus with them. Allie is also involved. She kind of helps manage the team, and she's there every practice, every Saturday on the sidelines as we're doing practice, and she's talking with the different families, different parents, just kind of going around. At this past Easter, our church was handing out the Man on the Middle Cross booklets, Alistair Begg, and so we were able to give some of those out to some of those families. Last furlough when we were here, we were trying to find a book that we could give out to the players. A lot of football players have books that they've written, you know, who are Christians about their testimony. But she was looking for something evangelistic, and Kirk Cousins' book was one that we were able to get. They donated them to us, and we were able to give them to the whole team, which was a real joy. So again, just be praying that God would open up those opportunities to share Jesus with those who don't know him. On the next slide, another way that we do that is through outreach and evangelism, right? As a church, we're seeking to reach out into our community to share the good news of Jesus so that people can hear and have the opportunity to respond to him. And so on the next slide is some pictures of that. We do that through different events. Christmas is a real key time in the UK. Easter, not so much so, but at Christmas, a lot of people who don't go to church, who aren't Christians, will come along to some events and things that are run by churches. And so we try to capitalize on that. This last Christmas, we had a children's craft day that we did where they could come in and make Christmas crafts, which was great. There was a ladies' event as well where they made wreaths. And again, shared the gospel at that event. And then to follow on from that, because we did that last year, the year before as well, They had the idea to invite them to another event, which happened in February. And so it was a craft evening again for the ladies, and Allie was able to share the gospel that evening. We also have things like Vacation Bible School. We call it Holiday Bible Club. In the UK, you can see a strange picture of some people up in the top middle there. Don't quite know who they are. But a pirate theme that we had recently. And also we've had some opportunities in some of the local schools as well. That's kind of died down a little bit compared to maybe earlier in our ministry, but still some opportunities to go in for assemblies or religious education classes and be able to share about the truth of God and His Word. We also did a game night. If you know our family, we love board games. And so we just brought all of our board games in, rented out the hall, and just invited people from the community. Board games are great because you just get to talk to people, right? You're across the table and you're just interacting, having fun, enjoying that. And it was a good opportunity to invite them along. And then thirdly, through individual discipleship. Again, as we share the gospel, as we're reaching out, we're praying that God would work in people's hearts so that they would come to faith in Him. They would begin a relationship with God. And it's a joy to be able to share that message. And it's a joy to watch people respond to that message. On the next slide is a picture of some of those who've responded in the past couple years that we've been doing Pathway Church. One of our prayers is always that God would intersect our lives with those He's working in. And we've seen that happen. Over the last 2 years, we've seen 8 people come to faith in Christ, which we're really excited. Praise the Lord, right? God is rescuing people from darkness, transferring them into the kingdom of His Son, and we get to be a part of that in Purton over these last 2 years. One of the stories I'll just share is the lady there in the top, she's got her arms up. Some of those who've been saved and were baptized. Her name is Amanda. Amanda lives in the village of Purton, and Amanda was very much into New Age kind of things, crystals and all of that. And she was actually had a backpack on with some of her crystals and things, and she was walking out to a place in the village where she would go to kind of do her worship time. And as she was going, one of the members from our church came out, and she had a Bible in her hand. She was going to a Bible study, and Amanda ran into her, and they kind of knew each other a little bit living in the village. And she asked Kimberly, "Oh, is that a Bible?" And Kim said, "Yes." And she said, "Oh, I'm kind of been searching and kind of looking for answers, and kind of interested in that. You know, do you think maybe we can meet up?" And Kim is an evangelist at heart. She said, "Absolutely, I would love to be able to meet with you." And was able to share the gospel with her, and she came to faith in Christ, and was baptized. She has 2 young boys. And one of them severely autistic. And again, just one of the joys of watching her grow in her faith, right? She at first she was just saying, "Well, what am I supposed to do with all these crystals and stuff I have in my house?" And the national pastor we serve with, Fraser, he said, "Well, just throw them away." And so the next time that she came to meet Fraser, she had this bag. She said, "Here's all the stuff." And they just took it and threw it in the bin. But she did have a picture of Buddha that was in her bedroom that hung over her bed. And so she took that down, and her autistic son kept saying, "Where's Buddha? Where's Buddha?" And so then she kind of felt, oh, you know, he doesn't like change, right? And so she would put it back up, you know, not feel right about it. And he would go to school, and she would, well, one day she decided, "I'm taking it, I'm just throwing it away." So she got rid of it. He comes, "Where's Buddha?" And she said, "Bye-bye, Buddha, hello, Jesus." And so now her son keeps going around the house saying, "Bye-bye, Buddha, hello, Jesus." So please be praying for those new disciples, right, as they grow in the Lord. The devil's not happy about what's happening, and so please continue to pray for them.
There's several people on the next slide that you'll see that we meet individually with to help with discipleship. So all these people that come to know Christ, it just doesn't stop there. We're walking with them and trying to help them learn the faith and draw closer to the Lord. But there's several people on all kinds of different parts of their path of as they walk with the Lord that we get to meet with. Matt and Kimberly are one of them. They're pictured on the very top. And Kimberly's that evangelist he was just talking about. And she came to know faith first, and then her husband, Matt, came to know the Lord. And it's been a joy. I meet with Kimberly, Cliff meets with Matt, and just especially watching both of them grow. But Matt has been growing in his faith. He's been growing as a leader in the home, which has been such an amazing thing to watch. And he's beginning to explore his giftings and is part of my Sunday school team and beginning to think about maybe I can teach. But he is a connector, and it's amazing to see the Lord use his gift of being able to just connect people. So when someone comes into the church, he's the one that is able to just go and have a conversation and connect them with other people. And that is a beautiful gift, and watching him grow has been great. I meet with others as well, Imo and Tilda, which I'll tell a little bit about their story later, but I get to meet with those two sisters and watch them grow in their faith. And then also Cammie is the larger picture. Cammie is our national partner's daughter. And she was in our youth group when we first came to Swindon. So it's kind of been fun to watch her grow. She went off and she was working in a church and kind of got a little burnout and came back. And so I've been able to meet with her recently and just be able to help her heal through that and be able to encourage her in her walk. We all need people to be walking beside us. So it's not just once you're saved, then you need to be discipled, and then out, you know, you go through this book and out pops a disciple. No, it's we walk together. And so I encourage you. I need that too. So I encourage you, if you don't have someone that you are discipling or being discipled by, look around and grab someone and read scriptures together and just encourage each other, walk with each other in faith and be able to meet together and pray. That's been a joy and a delight of ours as we've been able to help those in their walk with the Lord. I think Cliff switched the page before. Sorry. Okay, there we are. Also, in the next slide, it talks about discipleship at home. And discipleship at home is so important to us. That's where it starts. And we have been able to just have the joy and delight of watching our children come to know Christ. Our desire was always to give our children every opportunity to say yes to Jesus. I can't make them say yes to Jesus, but I am going to desperately give them every opportunity to say yes. And thankfully, all four of them have trusted Christ, made a profession of faith, and been baptized. And it's been a real joy over the last few years to watch them begin to explore their giftings and be able to serve in the church. They're a huge part of the ministry. So leaving two of them behind when we go back is going to be a real hit. We're mourning that loss. Our church is mourning that loss too. They serve in a lot of different capacities, and it's been exciting. Caleb is our sound man. He's already been called multiple times since he's been back. Oh no, this isn't working. How do we fix this? But he serves a lot of ways in the background. All of our children help set up every single week. We don't have a building like you guys have, so we have to come and tear down a cafe and set up all the chairs and all of the sound equipment every single week, and they do that every week with us. But watching Josiah and Isaac in the background, being able to set those things up, to watch them be a part of the video and things, but also watching them, Josiah and Isaac, interact with the young children. We have two young children in our Sunday school right now, and they are great friends with them, and just encourage them. We just got a text from the mom saying that the one boy really wants to FaceTime with Josiah because he fell off his bike and got a bump, and he's afraid Josiah won't see his little bump before he gets back. But it's that precious intergenerational just discipleship and friendship that's been great. And Hope, she sings in the church, and she's also one of those connectors. And Caleb even's been trying to explore his giftings, whether the Lord would be calling him into ministry or not, so he's able to preach as well. So it's been a joy and a delight to watch them serve and explore their giftings.
So the third part of our vision statement is to not only multiply prayer and disciples, but thirdly, to multiply leaders. And so on the next slide, we're seeking to raise up and develop leaders at all levels of ministry, right within the church. Leadership is one of the things that is greatly needed in the UK. And so on the next slide, you'll see a picture of some of the elders that I get the privilege of serving alongside at our last church plant, Cornerstone Church. The middle top picture is the elders at the mother church, North Swindon Baptist Church, that we're planted from. And Fraser's kind of in the middle there. He's the national pastor that we serve alongside at Pathway. But we also are seeking not only just to develop elders, that's really important for a church, right? To have leadership at that level and deacons and those who can serve the church well. But we're also looking to raise up people teaching Sunday school and leading Sunday school and doing sound and teaching and being involved in our weekly growth groups as well. So there are many opportunities to be involved in ministry, and we're seeking to see people raised up as leaders within the church.
Thank you. We also are, as Cliff is the field team leader, one of our jobs is also to welcome new teammates. And it's been a joy to be able to do that. We want to set up our new teammates for long-term service. So we get the joy of being able to help them orientate to the country and give them training. On the next slide, one more, you'll see some pictures of that. Setting them up, just practical things like finding a house, teaching them how to drive. You see the fun little magic roundabout in the bottom middle. That's always fun. That's lots of roundabouts at once. I cried the first time I went on it, but I've got it now, so I can help people. But also just helping them adjust, work through that culture shock and homesickness, and allow them to be able to settle into the country and love the people just like we have, and love the place where God has called us to serve. So that is also one of those joys. We also are multiplying, on the next slide, multiplying healthy evangelical churches. And we say healthy because it's not just, we don't want to just multiply churches. That would be easy. It's multiplying healthy churches, those that are growing and multiplying and seeking to reach out and growing within their church as well. And NSBC, North Swindon Baptist Church, was planted by our ABWE teammates in 1998. And it was a joy to watch that church grow to the point where they couldn't fit in the building. And so they're trying to figure out what to do. And so they planted a church. On the next slide, you'll see they planted Cornerstone Church in 2013. And then it graduated in 2023. And we were a part of that. We were able to come alongside a national partner there and help to plant Cornerstone Church.
So on our last furlough, as we were in that transition, we had just finished the work at Cornerstone. We were looking at what was next. We talked about another community down in the south part of Swindon called Whichelstow. That's where we thought we were going to be going. But we also said sometimes God changes plans, and that's what happened. When we got back, the Lord had actually moved Fraser into Purton. There were several other families there that had a real heart for seeing something started in that village. And the people in Whichelstow didn't necessarily have that same vision. So it was like, okay, God, I think you're redirecting us here. And it's been a joy. On the next slide, you'll see Pathway Church was planted in June 2024. So 2 years ago was our first public services, and it's been a joy to watch God work there as the church has continued to grow. People have come to faith. People from the community have come in and just kind of checked us out a little bit. What is this Christian church about? As we've had a chance to reach out into the community, as we watched people grow in their faith and stepping out and serving and growing in new ways. And a joy to serve alongside the core team that God brought together. What a joy it is to serve alongside one another as we're involved in the work that God's called us to, the kingdom work he's called us to. And on the next slide as well, just a growing enthusiasm for church planting that's happening in Swindon and the UK as a whole. When we first arrived there, it was kind of, there was church planting going on, but you didn't hear too much about it. You didn't see many of the kind of nationals talking so much about it. And now that has changed. There's been a real change, and many churches are now looking at how can we reach out into these communities that don't have any gospel witness? How can we reach out into these places that need to have a light for the gospel? And so that's really encouraging to be a part of what God is doing there in the UK.
I just want to share one story with you real quick about sometimes we don't really get to see God working behind the scenes, but we all know he is constantly working. And God sometimes gives us that real blessing, that glimpse of him working. And this is one of those that I'm excited to share. So when we first started at Cornerstone, a girl named Sophie came to know the Lord and was in our church, and we were able to baptize Sophie. And Cliff baptized her at her grandmother's manor house, and we had a pond there, and there was loads of people there, all from her family, and majority of them were all unsaved. And I remember praying with Sophie. She asked us to pray for her family that doesn't know Christ, that they would come to know Christ. It was an amazing service. We had four dogs there. I never had dogs at baptism before. But baptism's a huge thing in the UK because they often make the profession of faith very privately. And baptism is when they are sharing with the world what the Lord has done, right? That's what baptism is to declare that we are one with Christ. And she did that, and it was a beautiful service. Now, fast forward to when we planted Pathway. And just before we planted Pathway, a lady named Imo came to know the Lord and began.
Go to the next slide. Yep, thank you.
Sorry. That's yes. Okay. Sophie. Yeah, I'm not used to the next slide thing. So Sophie's up in the top corner over here, and she was the one that got baptized first. And then Imo in the red, she came to know Christ and got baptized, and we found out that she is actually Sophie's cousin, and she was actually there at that baptism. And so we've had the joy and privilege to walk alongside with Imo and disciple her, and we've been praying again for her family. And in November, she came to me and told me that her sister Tilda came to know Christ. And it was a joy. Both Imo and Tilda have been rescued spiritually, but also physically. They both have been in addiction, drug and alcohol addiction, and the Lord has just rescued them. And so now Tilda came to know the Lord as well, and on Easter Sunday was baptized. It was really exciting to be able to share Christ's resurrection with a baptism there on her family's organic farm with all more unsaved family there. So we're praying that the Lord would continue to work in that family. And it's just a blessing to see God's sovereign hand woven through it all that sometimes we don't get to see, but we can trust that He is working in the background.
On the next slide, there's just a few bullet points for prayer for us. If you could be praying for a charity application that we've submitted, we submitted actually just before Christmas, and usually takes about 4 to 6 weeks. And we received an email just after that they probably weren't going to get to our application for 26 weeks, so half a year. So it still has not been looked at. So if you could be praying for us, we're about at that point now. We're really praying that will help us to be able to move forward with some things. So that's a real current prayer request. Pray for, again, the new believers for their growth, for their commitment to the body of believers there in Purton. For more elders and deacons to be raised up in the church is, again, one of the things that we are praying for, as well as a larger meeting space. So it's a great place that we're meeting in, but it's starting to fill up, and we're just conscious that we want to see more people reached. And so we're just praying that God would give us wisdom as we look for another place. And then Caleb and Hope, as I said, are moving to Cedarville, begin their studies there. Pray for them in that transition. Pray for us as well as we get ready to head back in November without them. And on the last slide here is just a picture of our newest prayer cards. Please pick one of those up. They're back on the table there. We do really value your prayers. We also this time have some little stickers, Keep Calm and Pray for the Reynolds, you can have. You can put it on your water bottle or wherever you want to put it. That's fine, but those are out there as well. Here, I'll hand that to you. But it's just a joy, again, to be able to share what God is doing in the UK. And again, we're really grateful for your partnership in the gospel as well. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Ephesians 6, just as we're just going to spend a little bit of time thinking about this letter that Paul has written to the Ephesians. We're going to be thinking about spiritual warfare this morning. One of the reasons that we want to focus on this is because as we were thinking about coming back on this furlough, we were thinking about some of our previous furloughs and some of the people, stories that we shared, like Imo and Tilda, those that we shared on previous furloughs. Those people were very severely attacked just after those furloughs. We're just really aware of the reality of the spiritual warfare that's taking place. And it takes place all the time. It's not that, you know, all of a sudden there was some particular thing that happened. This is happening all over the place. Even right here, this morning, as we're meeting, spiritual warfare is taking place. I don't know if you are aware of that, or if you probably, if you are a Christian, you're familiar with this passage, you would know that. But I think it's something that we often forget. Why is church planting so hard? Why is it so hard to see people come to faith in Jesus? Why is it so hard to live as the Christians that God has called us to be? And Paul's, one of Paul's answers to that is here in Ephesians 6. It's that we're in a spiritual battle. There's a war that's taking place, and we need to be aware of that. It's a battle that all of us, if you're a Christian here, are engaged in. And yet it's a battle we can easily forget about because it doesn't get the same kind of news coverage that the war in Iran got. You're not going to hear about it on the news. You're not going to read about it in the newspaper. But it's a very real battle, and we see its effects around us. And so Paul speaks about this spiritual battle in Ephesians 6. Just a few things for us to think about for a few moments together. If you're there in Ephesians 6, the first thing that we see is that we must be prepared for the spiritual battle. We must be prepared for the spiritual battle in verses 10 through 12. Paul begins this last section of his letter by saying, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." And so there's some things that are going to be required for this battle. And Paul, right at the front, wants us to know that one of those things that's going to be required is Christ's strength. We need to fight this battle in his strength. Now, why would he need to tell us that? Well, he needs to tell us that because so many of us try to fight this battle in our own strength. Oh, we don't need God's strength. And yet he emphasizes it, doesn't he? He says, be strong in the strength of his might. Three power, kind of strong strength words that he piles together here to show us the importance of this strength. And it's actually a passive verb where it says, be strong in the Lord. It could be translated, be strengthened. It's something that God does in and through us by his Spirit. And this is really important because the reality is you're not strong enough to fight this battle in your own strength. If you try to, you are going to find that you fail. And that's why Paul, knowing this, prays the way he does in the book of Ephesians. In chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, he prays that the Ephesians would know the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. And it's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. I mean, that is some power, isn't it? And he says that power is available to you for this battle. And then in chapter 3, verse 16, he prays that God would grant us to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in our inner being. Why does he pray these things? Because he understands there's a spiritual battle. And they need to have the strength of God, the strength of Christ, which is available to them to fight in this battle. But not only does it require Christ's strength, secondly, it requires God's armor. And so he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So we need to put on the strength, that we need to be strong, be strengthened in Christ, but we also need to put on God's armor. And notice, it is the armor of God. It's his armor that he gives to us. Now, if you're familiar with this passage, you'll know that there are six pieces of armor that Paul talks about. And it's you know, and you could probably maybe even recite those different pieces of armor. And that's all well and good. It does no good, though, just to know about them, right? We actually have to put them on. If we're going to be engaged in this battle, we have to be equipped for the battle. And God has given us everything that we need. And so we need to put on this spiritual armor for this battle that we're engaged in. That is our responsibility. God provides it to us, but we need to put it on. So it requires Christ's strength. It requires Christ's armor. And it requires us to know our enemy. That's what he says next. He tells us who our enemy is not, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our enemy is not other human beings. Okay, our enemies are not other religions. Our enemies are not other churches. Our enemies are not other people in this room. And yet it's one of Satan's strategies to get us focused on the wrong enemy. So Paul wants us to know that our enemy is not flesh and blood. What does he say? Our enemy is against the rulers and authorities and cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is the enemy that we are fighting. It is against Satan and the wicked spiritual forces and leaders in the heavenly places. There are two mistakes I think we can make when we think about our enemy, Satan. There are two ditches we could fall into on either side of the road. One is to underestimate him, and one is to overestimate him. On the one side, if we underestimate him, we won't worry about putting on the armor, right? Because we're strong enough in ourselves. Satan can't do anything to us, so we don't need to worry about him. No, actually, Satan is described in 1 Peter as a lion who wants to devour people. That doesn't sound like an enemy who's just kind of, you know, not real concerned about what's happening. He wants to destroy you. And so we need to be ready for that. We can't underestimate him. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, I'm certain that one of the main causes of the ill state of the church today is the fact that the devil's being forgotten. Let's not make that mistake and underestimate our enemy. But so for other people, they overestimate him. Oh, you know, Satan is so powerful. You know, I don't know if I can fight against him. I don't know if I can take my stand. I'm afraid of him. And what happens if we're afraid? We're going to turn and run the other way. That's not what Paul says. Paul says that we're to take our stand against the devil and his schemes. He is scheming against us. But it's important to remember that Jesus has already won the war. We don't need to be afraid of Satan. We don't want to underestimate him, but we definitely don't need to overestimate him. Jesus defeated him and these spiritual forces, Colossians 2 tells us, through the cross. God disarmed these powers through Jesus. And we stand in his victory. It's kind of like World War II on D-Day, June 6, 1944, when they approached the beaches and they took that beachhead. That was really the end of the war in one sense. But the battle still continued for almost a year. It wasn't until May of the next year that VE Day was declared. And some of the fiercest fighting happened in that last year. Some of the worst casualties happened in that last year. In a similar way, Jesus has won the war, but the battle still rages on. And Satan knows he's a defeated enemy, and he knows his time is short. That's what Revelation 12 tells us. And he is like that lion seeking people to devour. But be encouraged. Be encouraged. God has given you everything you need. His power is available to you. His armor is available to you. He tells us about the enemy so we can be prepared for the battle. Secondly, we need to stand firm in God's armor. Notice he says in verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand therefore. Again, just like he did in verse 10, three terms here where he's talking about standing, right? What is our responsibility in the battle? Take your stand against the devil. We aren't advancing against him. We're not attacking him. We are prepared for his attacks on us. And we do that by standing firm in the whole armor of God. And so he goes on to describe each of those pieces of armor. Now, so some people at the very end in verse 20 there, he says he's an ambassador in chains, right, in prison. Some people think, you know, he's thinking about the Roman guard he's kind of chained up to, and he's looking at his armor, and he's using that as a metaphor. And that may be the case. I don't know. But I also wonder if he's not thinking about the book of Isaiah. Because in Isaiah, we have a description of God's divine warrior who's fighting in his armor. It talks about a belt. It talks about a breastplate. It talks about a helmet. Huh, that sounds it sounds similar, doesn't it? It talks about feet that are bringing the good news. I wonder if it's not that he doesn't have Isaiah in mind as he writes these things. But it's a metaphor, right? It's not that we physically put on pieces of armor. We spiritually must put on these pieces of armor that he describes here. So he says that we are to put on the belt of truth. God's word is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We have a God who is a God of truth. And so we need to be prepared for this battle with the objective truth that God has given to us, that we live out in our lives so that we become people who are truthful and reliable and faithful. It ought to affect the way that we live. It does, again, it's not just head knowledge. You know, we know some things about the Bible and we can quote verses. No, it's God's word that gets lived out in our lives. That's what it means to be prepared for this battle and put on the belt of truth. And Satan seeks to undermine and distort God's truth, doesn't he? Go all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. The serpent comes in, and what does he say to Eve? Did God actually say? Right, and he misquotes him, and he puts doubt and casts doubt on God's word, and Adam and Eve took the bait. Let's not be too hard on them, because every single human being since them has believed the lie as well. You and I have believed the lie, and we've been rescued. If you are a Christian here, have been rescued from that reality, and you've been brought into God's kingdom. But before that, you were in darkness, and you were believing the lies of the devil. And so we need to be prepared by putting on the belt of truth. We need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. As we think about righteousness, we don't stand before God in our own righteousness. We stand before God in the righteousness of Jesus. That's the good news of the gospel. It's not because I'm good that I stand before God. It's because Jesus is perfect, and I trust in him and his finished work on the cross. He lived the perfect life I could never live. He went to the cross and paid the penalty that I deserved. He paid that debt by dying on the cross for my sins and your sins. He was buried and he rose again 3 days later, conquering death and sin and Satan. That's the good news of the gospel that we believe, and we stand in the righteousness of Jesus. Satan wants to accuse us. In Revelation 12, he is called the accuser of the brothers, and he accuses them day and night. We need to be prepared by putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And one of the great news is that though there's an accuser, there's also an advocate. 1 John 2, verse 1. We have an advocate. Who's our advocate? Jesus. And how is he described? The righteous. We put on the breastplate of righteousness as we are engaged in this battle. The next piece of armor is the shoes of readiness from the gospel of peace. The gospel and the truths of the gospel prepare us for this battle. They give us stability and security as we fight in this battle. But notice it's described as the gospel of peace. As we believe the truths of the gospel, we are justified by faith, Romans 5:1 tells us, and we have peace with God. We are no longer at war with him. And that's good news. And we're also not at war with other people either. One of Paul's points in Ephesians is that we're brought together in a body. Jews and Gentiles brought together in one new humanity. What an amazing thing that is. This morning is a picture of that. In Purton, England, our small little church plant is a picture of what God is doing. It's amazing. And we also, as I think about this, these shoes with the gospel of peace, think about taking the gospel out to others, right? Paul quotes in Romans 10:15 from Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Satan does not want the good news to go out. Satan does not want us to live as God's reconciled people, and he doesn't want us proclaiming the gospel. Next, we have the shield of faith. Faith speaks about trusting in God. It's a confidence about who we are in Christ. It's a confidence that comes because we know that God is faithful and he will keep his promises. Satan is constantly attacking our faith. And we need to be ready for that by taking up the shield of faith, trusting in God and his word. As he tempts us to sin, as he casts doubt upon us and wants us to be filled with fear and guilt and shame. We need to take up that shield so we're ready for the battle. The helmet of salvation. Again, Satan will attack our assurance of salvation, but we need to be reminded our salvation is not dependent on what you do. It's dependent on what Jesus has done. And that's really important, because if you think it's about what you've done, then he's going to attack you and you're going to think, oh, actually, maybe I'm not saved. I'm not sure if I did something right. It's not about what you've done. It's about what Jesus has done. We need to be reminded of that reality as we put on that helmet of salvation. And lastly, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Satan tempts us to doubt and disbelieve God's word. We see that not only in the Garden of Eden, but in the wilderness in the New Testament. As Jesus goes out into the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4, and Satan tempts him 3 times. And what does Jesus do each time? He quotes scripture. He uses the word of God. And he goes to the likely place that all of you would go to, right? The book of Deuteronomy. I mean, that's just, you know that book like the back of your hand, and you just be ready to use that against the devil, right? Probably not. And I'd be in that case as well. I just think, wow, you know, Jesus, right? He is the word of God. He knew the word of God, and he was able to use it. What a great example for us. Have you been putting on the whole armor of God? And then just lastly here as we finish up, verses 18 to 20, we must pray and keep alert. We must pray and keep alert. And this is really important. Okay, it's not just a tag on here that Paul has. We need to keep alert because the battle is imminent and we must see the dangers. Lack of prayer reveals a lack of dependence on God, because prayer is one of the primary ways that we express our dependence on him. We need you, God. If you don't show up, then we're done. If you don't give us your power, then we have no way of winning. If you don't provide that armor, then we are going to be defenseless. And so we put on each of those pieces of armor through prayer. And we saturate all aspects. That's why he says, when do we pray? At all times. How do we pray? With all prayer and supplication, with all perseverance. And who do we pray for? For all the saints. Four times he uses the word all there. Why does he say perseverance? Because prayer is hard. I don't know if you find that, but prayer is really difficult. And we need God's help and the Spirit of God to help us as we pray. Jesus had told his disciples when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, watch and pray that you may not enter temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And you see that with Peter, don't you? I mean, he was willing. I'll go to you, to my death with you, Jesus. His spirit was willing. But when the time came, his flesh was weak. He denied the Lord three times. So don't give up. Pray. We are so grateful for your prayers. Please pick up one of our prayer cards. Please continue to pray for us. Please continue to pray for Pathway Church. Please pray for them during this time while we're away. Right? Satan is not happy about what's happening. Please pray for those new believers. Please pray for us. Paul here says, pray for me too, that I would have clarity and courage. Please pray that we would have clarity and courage as we share the gospel with those around. Your prayers matter. They make a difference in the spiritual battle. Please know that. Can I just encourage you? How encouraging it is for us when we know that people are praying for us. It's a spiritual battle. Satan wants to undermine our Christian walk in the witness of the church. And so it shouldn't be surprising that evangelism is hard. It shouldn't be surprising that church planting is hard. It shouldn't be surprising that it's hard to live as the people God's created us to live, to get along in unity and love, because Satan is fighting us at every step of the way. But the great news is that God has given us all the resources that we need to be engaged in the battle so we can be victorious as we stand in the victory Jesus has already won. Let's pray. Father, what a joy it is to be able to share about what you're doing in the UK. And we are so grateful and thankful that we've only been able to share a very brief amount of what you're doing. And God, it's all to your praise, all to your glory. You are the one who is at work there and around the world. And thank you for this chance just for us to, again, have our eyes open to what you're doing. Would you receive the glory and the praise this morning? And please help us to be reminded that we're in this spiritual battle. Help us to be prepared. Help us to fight in your strength. Help us to put on that full armor. Help us to know our enemy and help us to be people of prayer. God, please help us to be equipped by your Spirit. Help us to stand in the victory that Jesus has won. And Father, we pray that you will continue to help us. We are so dependent on you. That's why we're coming to you right now in prayer. Please help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Cliff and Allie, for sharing about not only your ministry, but Cliff bringing the word to us, challenging us. We all have that challenge. You don't have to have missionary. You don't have to have pastor. That's not a title you have to have in order to live for Jesus. Every one of you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we all have that responsibility to live for him, to share him with the world that needs to know what makes us different, what gives us peace, what gives us joy. And God is good, isn't he? He's so good to us. I want to invite my brother and friend, Andrew Postema. Andrew and Leah are here. If you remember, just a few short months ago, Mike and I went on an adventure across the globe and had the joy of serving with Andrew and Leah. I'm just standing here because I can put my toes off and it helps stretch my back. So if you didn't know, yesterday morning, I want to profess God's goodness. So yesterday, Lene got married. Now come back. It'll be... Lene and Dylan got married. We're setting up speakers yesterday morning outside. First one went fine. I just grabbed the second one. I even bent my knees like you're supposed to. And I grabbed that thing, and it was like lightning shot down my back. And I set that thing down, and I just bent over, and I'm like, what are you doing, Lord? And for the next few minutes, if I could have, I would have taken that speaker and chucked it in the woods. I'm glad I didn't do that. But that morning, yesterday morning, I'm like, just thought after thought about all the things that could go wrong. And I'm like, why today? Why? And I just prayed. And I said, Lord, you know what's best today. And so I just gave it to him. And I said, I'm not going to make a big deal about this. And so we just went about the day, and people yelled at me for doing, picking up a pencil or anything else. And while I was very drugged up, God's goodness, and it just testifies to what Cliff said. I know there are I just know there are so many of you who are praying for us. And God allowed it just to be a great day. And it was like once Lene and Dylan drove off, it was like, oh, my word. but it was so good leading up till then. And it was like just, again, God's strength and the way he provides and the way he just gives us what we need, even in those moments when we're like, why now? Like, why would you allow this? And he's like, Aaron, I just want to show you that I got this and I got a plan. And so just thank you for that. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for, sorry for this little sob session there.
I can preach too. If you want. We can each have a sermon today.
But it's a joy to have our friends and family here, and Andrew and Leah and their daughter Grace and Riley and their two adorable little girls, and just to have them in. And I asked Andrew if he would just close us in prayer this morning, and as one of our missionaries, just to be able to, again, to remind us to know missions here at West Hill. Missions isn't just about giving your money. It's not about child support. We're not just giving support financially. While we need that, they need those funds. It is really about partnering with our missionaries, that they would know that they're part of our staff, part of who we are here, and part of that is praying diligently and continuing to pray for them. So, Andrew, thanks.
Thank you, brother. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, you are the perfect Father, and we praise and honor you. This is a weekend in which we honor fathers, and we give you, first of all, the honor in our lives, because no matter what father we had, in you we can have a good father. So thank you for this. And we're here on a weekend in which we celebrate family, because the Reynolds family is here, and we're with family because you have begun a new family with Lene and Dylan, and we celebrate family and pray for your blessing on the Reynolds family. Thank you for not just partnership, but the personal connection that exists here between West Hill Baptist Church and their ministry in the UK as an extension of this church. So, Father, I want to pray for a special personal blessing. I ask that you would bless Cliff and Allie in their marriage, in their family. We see that they're coming up on 25 years, and we ask that you'd give them 25 more years, and we ask that you would keep them closer to you every day, and as they get closer to you, that they would be close to one another. We pray a blessing on their children. We thank you for Caleb and Hope and Josiah and Isaac, and we thank you for your goodness to them. As children, they are born into a mission. And God, I pray, we pray that you would keep them close to you and that you would make them aware of the giftedness that you have placed in them. And God, up until now, it's been an inherited calling. And I pray that in these days ahead, in these years that are so precious, that you would give each one of them a clear understanding of your calling on them personally and the future that you have for them. We pray that as Caleb and Hope, as they go to university, God, I pray that you would give them friends. I pray that you would give them relationships. I pray that you would give them family close by, friends who will be family and family who will be like friends. And God, I pray that you would keep them close to you and direct their steps through these days. And I pray for their family as they go over to the UK. And at times they look around and they see empty seats at the table. Father, I pray that you would fill those seats with spiritual brothers and sisters, spiritual sons and daughters who can be like family, and that they would realize that this isn't a division, this is a multiplication. And everything that grows changes. And through this change, God, I ask that you would keep them close to you. I pray for your presence with the Reynolds family in specific ways. First of all, that your presence would give power. We've heard about that. We've read in your word today the importance of strength that comes from you. So I pray that you would give them strength in you. God, we know that where your presence is, there's promise. And so I pray that they would look to you for promise and for hope because of who you are. Where you are present, God, there's protection, and I ask that you would continue to protect them physically as they travel. I pray that you would protect them spiritually as they have a target on their backs. Be with them and protect them. God, I pray for peace, that there would be, in the midst of storms, safety in you. God, I pray for praise. Because where you are present, there is praise. So together, God, I pray for the Reynolds family, that they would bring glory to you and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for being with us now as we leave. We ask for your blessing on each one. Help us, Father, to look to you for what we need and to trust you to obey. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
God bless you. Have a great week.